All right, we're going to take our scriptures from Luke chapter 6. I think it's only going to be on the board here. Luke chapter 6, beginning with the 46th verse. We're just going to read three verses. All right. Oh, okay, there we go. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Would you say that with me? Could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
One more verse of scripture before you're seated here that we'll pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, everybody say the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, do what?
Stand.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time today. Thank you for what we have already felt in this presence, in your presence today. Thank you for the hearts that have been touched. And Lord, we thank you now for your word going forth. And we pray that you open up our ears to hear what you would have us hear today. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, I just thank you now for those that are going to be touched by the word. Thank you. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Dennis, we're glad you're here, brother. We love you, man. God bless you. Jesus gives us the parable then of two houses in these scriptures and two foundations and two men. These are two different houses. It's two different foundations and two different men. And in this text, Jesus divides then the whole world into two classes of people. Number one, those, there are the wise. And number two, there are the foolish. And right up front from the very thing that Jesus teaches us, in this text is simply this: it's up to you. It's up to you. And that's the title of my message today. Would you say that with me? It's up to you. We could ask ourselves then, which foundation are we building our lives on? But ultimately, again, it really is up to you and up to me. No one is born with a predisposition to be a fool. No one is born with a predisposition to be wise. Guess what? It's a choice. It's a choice. Yet, even though this is a teaching of contrast and variables, one thing is the same, and that is, guess what? The storm. Understand something with me this morning. Storms come to everybody. Storms come to everybody. And that being said, the only thing that is in question is not why, it's not how, or it's not even where, but it's when. And for those living in a place called Tornado Alley, up here in the Midwest, Texas going up into the Midwest, there is no question of why the storms will come, or if they will come, or which direction they're going to come from, because none of those things make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
But the question that remains by to be answered is when. And there are those who study the weather, and at best then they make their predictions. And the same is true in life. No one knows when the storm will come. Some have had the advantage of the daylight hours and have seen the storm coming in the distance and were able to brace for it and get out of the way. But for others, there was no warning. They went to bed and after a beautiful summer's evening or a spring evening, and they woke up then to the sound of a tornado ripping their house apart. destroying everything they hold dear. And sadly, for many, and or for a lot, there was even the loss of family members. In the morning light, all that remains then are the broken, shattered pieces of a life that used to be a home, that used to be, and a home that used to be. A marriage that used to be beautiful. A body that used to be healthy and strong. A family that used to be close, that used to love each other. A mind that used to be clear and sharp, uncluttered by drugs and alcohol. A retirement plan that used to exist but got blown away by the storm. A car that used to be beautiful but got blown away by the storm. Dreams and aspirations that were destroyed. And it all happened then without warning. It happened while they were sleeping. And I wonder how many storms then could actually have been avoided had we not been sleeping. I know some storms are unavoidable. Some storms are unavoidable. But there are some storms that could be avoided if we just wake up. All marriages don't have to end in divorce. All physical attacks don't have to lead to a heart attack or a stroke or cancer or sugar diabetes. A lot of things happen in our lives simply because we are asleep. We're not watching. We're not paying attention. Stay with me, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." If you grew up in church and in Sunday school, you were probably told the story of a character in the Bible by the name of Samson. And I'm sure Tara and Kim have told some stories about it. You got to understand, you have to know, he did not have to have his eyes punched out. He did not have to suffer humiliation and play the part of a fool and become a slave in the Philistine prison. No, this was a storm that could have been avoided. And we can use his character and we can say what Samson's problem was. He was sleeping when maybe he should have been praying. Sleeping when he should have been reading the Word of God. Sleeping when he should have been in church listening to the Word of God being preached. Taking notes and making preparation for building his foundation. Samson was sleeping while the storm was brewing. Samson closed his eyes to the obvious threat around him. Samson pretended everything was all right when he knew in his heart it was all wrong. Some may be going through a storm in your life today. And I know for a fact some storms are unavoidable. But there are some storms that you don't have to go through. There are those today who have gone through things you did not have to go through. Hell that you didn't have to go through. Heartbreak you didn't have to experience. These are storms then that are the product and the fruit of fleshly desires and decisions. Samson's life was a series of storms. It was a series of tragedies and loss and heartbreak. And every one of them was a product, here we go, of his own self-will and action birthed out of the desires of his flesh. We've all been there, so no one can point a finger at someone else today. Guess what? We've all blown it at times. We've all moved in the flesh. At one time or the other, we've all ignored wise counsel and we did what we wanted to do. And like Samson, we found ourselves then in a storm. But these are not the storms that we're talking about in our text this morning. The storms our text is talking about are unforeseeable storms. Supernatural in design and origin. They're unavoidable. These storms is not the consequence of bad or selfish or even carnal decisions. This storm is a product of satanic conspiracy. It is designed then to destroy your faith. It's designed to take you out. It is a fiery furnace designed, formed, and created for the sole purpose of destroying your life. From the story given to us in the Old Testament, we see King Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace was supposed to prove publicly that the faith of these three Hebrew children was worthless. It was his intention to publicly humiliate their testimony and the confession of these three children of faith. And that's the purpose of the storm. That's the reason that it comes. It comes as flaming arrows, and it comes to humiliate you and to ridicule you and to ultimately destroy your faith and your trust in God, to put you on display and say to the world, well, they couldn't make it, and neither will you. I destroyed them, and I'll destroy you. And the sad truth is there are many in the church that have been blown away by the storms and have fallen. And Jesus tells us why. Because they built their house upon the sand, Brandon. They went to church. They heard the preacher. They shouted. They danced. They even paid their tithes, Brother North. And they talked in tongues. But they built their house upon the sand. Guess what? Sand means a surface that is moving and shifting and changing, and it's unstable. They built on their religious affiliation. They built on their good deeds. They built on their own morality and their legal righteousness. They built on their own wisdom and their own knowledge. And all of these things are but sand moving and shifting with a rising tide. No wonder the songwriter said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. It's no mystery then when someone falls, regardless of how big or beautiful the house or that ministry is. Jesus reveals that when the house is destroyed in the storm, it is a foundation problem. Everything is dependent upon your foundation. And this is where so many people miss it. They want to build something they can be proud of that will impress others. Yes, they want the anointing and they want to minister. They want to preach. They want to teach. They want to sing. They want to evangelize. They want big houses. They want fancy cars. They want reputations. They want popularity. And so they put all of their energy in what they can see, and they fail to build a strong foundation. Are you with me this morning? Jesus said the wise man dug down deep and he laid his foundation on the rock. The wise man understands that the most necessary thing then in his house is that of the foundation. The wise man is more concerned, watch this, with what others cannot see than what they can see. Understand with me, Jesus spent 30 years of his life laying a foundation for a 3.5 year ministry. We know Jesus was born and we saw him at 12 years of age in the temple, but we know nothing of his life up till the age of 12. We also know nothing of his life after 12 years of old until he started his open ministry at 30 years of age. What was Jesus doing in all of those silent years that we don't find in the scripture? He was building. He was laying the foundation of his ministry. And so Jesus was teaching us how then to build our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 tells us, he taught us to do our praying in secret. In the closet, to do our alms or our giving between ourselves and God, to fast secretly unto the Lord, not seeking the attention from others. This is the foundational life. Then he says, when you have done these things secretly, your heavenly Father will reward you openly. So the wise man digs down deep. The wise man is willing to invest time and effort in building a good foundation. Jesus reveals then the reason that one man's house was destroyed by the storm and the other was not, was all because of the foundation. And you know that laying the foundation for a successful life, you got to understand it's hard work. Again, anybody can shout and they can dance and they can run and they can speak in tongues, but it's hard sometimes to shout and dance and run and holler when you're digging and you're hitting the rocks and the roots and you're getting things out of the way that are unstable and undependable and they're shifting and loosing. The wise man digs deep. Down deep. And you have to dig past feelings. And you have to dig past emotions. You have to dig past popular opinion. You have to dig past religious pedigree. You have to dig past head knowledge. You have to dig past secondhand revelation. In other words, you cannot build your life on who everybody else says Jesus is. You've got to know Him for yourself. There are storms then in life that are unavoidable. There are storms then that take us by surprise. There are storms that are supernatural in design and origin. But the revelation that Jesus brings us is this. If the house has the right foundation, it will still be standing when the storm is over. Tell your neighbor, I've had my share of storms, but I'm still standing. You see me standing here this morning, and it looks like I have somewhat all together. I have it somewhat all together. But that doesn't mean I've never been through a storm. You hear me speaking words of encouragement and blessings and lifting you up, but that doesn't mean I've not ever been down. I don't have time to talk about all the storms I've been through in my life. Some I could have avoided and some I couldn't. But the message that I want to get to you is this morning. I'm still standing.
Come on, man.
And so are you.
Come on.
Again, would you tell your neighbor, I'm still standing.
Still standing.
Tell them I took a good hit, but I'm still standing. Y'all got to help me preach. Tell them it was a bad storm, but I'm still standing. I lost some stuff. I thought I couldn't live without, but I'm still standing. It blew some people away that I thought were my friends, but I'm still standing. Y'all doing good. Sometimes it felt like the storm would never end, but I'm still standing. But Pastor, how do you make it? How do you survive when others did not make it? How do you make it through the storm of sickness? How do you make it through the loss of a loved one? How do you make it through broken relationships? How do you make it through the storm of divorce? Through heartbreak? Through financial disaster? How do you make it when everything you love and hold dear then is taken from you? Sadly, so many people give up. So many people fall. So many people quit. What then is the secret, Pastor? Listen, the secret is this. You have got to find the rock. And you've got to dig past everything and everybody else. You've got to dig past church. You've got to dig past religion. You've got to dig past emotions. You've got to dig past feelings. You've got to dig past opinions and hit the rock. Many of us have been weathered. Many of us have weathered the storms before. We felt the rain as it pounded on our lives. We've heard the thunder roll and we've seen the lightning flash. And yes, there were times where I felt the hand of fear as it tried to grip my heart. But I kept digging and I kept digging. And finally, I hit the rock. Would you tell your neighbor, I hit the rock? When I felt the rock under my feet, I knew I was safe.
Amen.
When I felt the rock under my feet, I knew I was going to make it. Because nothing can move the rock. And who is the rock? His name is Jesus. Now go ahead. You got to help me preach today. Okay. Tell your neighbor, nothing can move my rock. 2 Samuel 22 and 2. Here's what it reads. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 62 and 6. David said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Did David make mistakes? Absolutely. He made some biggies. But he always would come back to the rock. One of my favorite verses is in the Bible. That's in the Bible. There's a lot of favorite verses. But it's what David said and wrote. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Would you just tap your neighbor and tell him this time, nothing can move my rock. Don't bruise them. Don't hurt them. Just tap them, okay? Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And he ends it with Selah. Or Selah, however you want to pronounce it. It means pause for a moment and think on that. What David is saying here in this verse is this. It doesn't matter what comes my way in life. I'm going to make it because nothing can move my rock. Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, volcanoes, fire, floods, famine, pestilence, even a doctor's diagnosis over me.
Amen.
Nothing can move my rock. Somebody here listening to this message right now or watching online, you're possibly in the storm of your life. And understand, we're not even concerned today with whether it was avoidable or not. We're not going there. We're not asking you today if you caused it or not. We're not going there. The point is, you're in a storm. And stuff is shaking all around you. And you need help. And you need it now. Everything that you've been holding on to is shaking and falling apart. But I heard David say from Psalm 61 and 2, when, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I came today to lead you to the rock that is higher than you. The rock that is higher than the storm. The rock that is higher than the fight that you're in. The rock that is higher than the fire that you may be going through. Higher than the enemy that is warring against you. I don't want to hold you too long today, but I got to talk to you a minute about my rock for a moment. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 6 and 7, it says, water came out of the rock and it quenched the thirst of between 1 million to 3 million Israelites in the wilderness. Judges chapter 6 and verse 21, fire came out of the rock and consumed Gideon's offering. Job 29 and 6, the rock poured me out rivers of oil, Job said. Psalm 81, 16, and I'll give you all a list of these scriptures if you need it. You can ask me after church. Psalm 81, 16, he said he would satisfy with honey from the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, it says, there was a rock that followed the children of Israel all through their wilderness wanderings. And then it says, and that rock was Christ. Christ Jesus. And so this morning, that's the rock that I'm talking about. It's the same rock that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. That's the rock I came to lead you to today. He's the rock that never rolls. He's the foundation that never shifts, Brandon. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the captain that's never lost a battle. He's your shelter in the time of storm. He's your fortress and he's your high tower. Listen now, everything in your world may be shaking right now. The wind and the rain may be beating your life. And it may look like there's nothing and no one that you can depend on. But I came here this morning to lead you to that rock. And if you'll step up on that rock, you'll make it. I can't promise you the storm will stop. I can't promise you that all the problems will disappear. But I can promise you, standing here this morning, that you will make it through, because nothing can move that rock. I wish you'd find at least three people right now to touch and tell them, nothing can move my rock. Can you find three people, front of you, back of you. Hallelujah. Woo! I think I could shout right now and just lose it here. Governments and nations around the world are shaking. Did y'all know that? This nation's economy is shaking. The world's economy is shaking. The religious world is shaking. The family structure is shaking. Everything around us is shaking except the rock. Y'all preaching good this morning. Tell your neighbor you're going to make it. Tell them you've made it to the rock. So you're going to make it. Come hell or high water, you're going to make it, because you made it to the rock, and nothing can move my rock. I want you to know, nothing can move my rock. Singers, would you come on up? I'm going to keep preaching for a few moments, but they're going to come up. We're going to sing a song. If you're building on this world's religious system, guess what? You're going to fall. If you're building on this world's economic system, you're going to fall. If you're counting on the government to take care of you, guess what? It's going to fall. If your faith is only, watch this now, if it's only in Social Security, and I'm on Social Security, if it's only on welfare or government housing, guess what? That's going to fall. I'm not saying that's wrong, but understand that's not our source. That's not where our true help comes from. That's not the rock that we stand on. Those things are only resources that come to us. If you're counting on your ability to play the stock market, guess what? You're going to crash. There's only one thing you can depend on in this world today. There's only one foundation that is sure. And guess what? It's not the Rock of Gibraltar. It's the Rock of Ages. And His name is Jesus. And if anyone builds on any other foundation, I'm sorry, but the Bible compares them then to a foolish person. Matthew 7:26-27. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Everybody say it fell. And great was the fall of it. Again, there's only one thing that you can depend on in this world today, and it's the Rock of Ages, that being Jesus Christ. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've asked them as we end today, they're going to sing about the goodness of the Lord again. I want that song today. And so, ministry team, John and Tina, would you come? Tony, would you come? Hallelujah. Come and stand. Let's all stand together. And they're going to be up front. I'm going to be here with you. But let's all gather down here. Please don't leave. I did good. It's only 12:05. And I didn't take that time up. John took my time, okay? But I forgive him, that's all right. All right, they're going to sing this. That's all right. He did good. I'm so glad John listened to the Spirit. Amen. Anytime. All right, come on, let's just gather down here. I promise we're not going to get you. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do His work in our heart. I'd like for us to just stand together in a show of unity. We're just going to gather. Just gather down close, okay? Even if it's on the second row, just gather close, okay? I just encourage everybody, all of our kids, come on down, everybody, if you can. Just come on down, just stand for a moment or two, and we're going to close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The mercies of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, your mercy never fails me.
Hallelujah.
All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paula, you're still standing. Ruth, you're still standing.
Oh my God, yes.
Debbie, Michelle, you're still standing.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're still standing.
Amen.
Judy, Debbie, y'all are still standing. Tessa.
That's right.
Clint, Becca, you're still standing. Oh my goodness. We all have a testimony, but guess what? We're still standing today. Let's determine not to let nothing move us from off the rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. He never moves. He's always there for us. All right, a few more moments. Go ahead and sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I'm so Oh.